May be seated for the reading of the Old Testament, and then we'll stand for the reading of the Gospel in this. Give everybody a little break. We have two scriptures this morning. First scripture is from the book of Isaiah. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah are chapters of judgment. You mess up, God is going to bring judgment on you. But fortunately, the last 40 through 66 chapters of Isaiah are chapters of comfort. And this is where Isaiah begins to prophesy about what's coming after the time of judgment in this. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term and her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings, lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear, says to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God has come with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. Please rise now for the standing for the reading of the gospel. This is from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, again from the New Revised Standard Version. And this is sort of the proclamation of the coming of our Lord and Savior. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came down from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beast, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we open our hearts to you. Now guide us as your word is proclaimed and your word is heard. May it be for us a joy today to hear your word. Amen. People, get ready. I'm the world's worst writer of sermon titles. When I have served churches on a regular basis, secretaries would pull their hair out trying to get a sermon title from me. Some places it wasn't an issue and we usually just left the title blank. And I normally feel how I'm comfortable feeling. But in today's scripture, the title just, to me, as I reflected on this scripture, just jumped out. People, get ready. And we know why we're getting ready. After all, Christmas is coming. Calendars are quickly filling. I've talked to a handful of people this morning, and practically everyone I talk to is telling me how busy they are, how many things are coming up, all the things they have to do to get ready for Christmas. And we could make a litany, couldn't we? And we could even have a responsive reading. We could mention shopping that has to be done. We could mention the decorating that has to be done, the socializing that will be done, the partying that will be done, and the traveling that may be done if you are going to a far-off place, or maybe someone from a far-off place is coming here. We are getting ready for Christmas in its brashest, in its consumerist, is that a word, in its most consumer, in its most commercial kind of form there is, we're getting ready. And in our endeavors of getting ready for Christmas, we often find some strange, unwanted byproducts of getting ready. First of all, there's stress. It may be financial stress in the presents that you just have to buy for others that you really don't want to give and maybe they really don't want to get. And we find that there's just not enough money to go around. Or the social stresses of the day. There's just not enough time. How can I go to 3 parties in a 1-hour period? We are called and pulled, and people we have to see and want to see, but so many people to see, sometimes that it stresses us out completely. And ironically as it is, even in this busiest of season, we often have loneliness in our lives. Even when we are in a sea of people, we may feel isolation. And that loneliness, along with other stresses, may lead to depression. You know, Christmas, unfortunately, is often a depressing time. Even in the midst of celebration, we have depression. And we may find that there is a blue Christmas out there that we don't want, we don't invite, but it comes upon us anyway. Well, friends, we are called to get ready. A few questions. To get ready by whom? To get ready for what? And how shall we get ready? Well, first of all, we are called to get ready, as we read in Scripture today, by John the Baptist. John the Baptizer. Now, John was quite a character. It's been said that you can choose your friends, but not your relatives. And I wonder if anyone ever said that to Jesus about this weird cousin of his who was called John the Baptist. Now Mark, the Gospel of Mark, in its very opening chapter and opening verse, Mark introduces this strange character. He seems to appear out of nowhere, the solo voice of one crying in the wilderness. His dress and diet speak for themselves. He wore a leather girdle. He wore camel's hair. He ate wild honey and locusts. Have anybody here ever eaten wild honey and locusts? Oh, one person. We'll question you after the service. Dan asked if it was chocolate covered. Well, John had his different ways of living. He seemed totally lacking in social skills, devoid of diplomacy as he launches a message of doom and gloom. Personally, he's not my type that I would really choose if I could to have a relative, and I imagine he's really not your type either. He's the ultimate loner, the original rugged individualist. He's a desert prophet, yes, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, we can easily forget that John the Baptist was the product of good nurture, of good upbringing. His parents, Elizabeth and Zechariah, were both of priestly lineage. They were elderly, and no doubt it was difficult at times to understand their independent son. We do not know how or why John left home. He was raised, however, by solid spiritual parents in the traditions of faith. He knew the pilgrimage of the people and the places of his Hebrew roots. Mark connects to him, to his heritage, by quoting from the prophet Isaiah. His dress was identified to that of Elijah, the forerunner prophesied by Malachi. The prophetic voice had been stilled for centuries until John the Baptist aroused people from their spiritual sleep and his clarion call. He was the fulfillment of the old and prepared the way for the new. That's John the Baptist. So we're called to get ready by John. We're called to get ready for the coming of Christ. And for what are we called? Well, we are called to get ready for repentance. Now, repentance is one of those loaded terms that we as Christians learn, but maybe from time to time have trouble dealing with. For some of us in our Christian vocabulary, we're not wild about the term because it conjures up feelings of guilt and having to grovel. Repentance can often entail some aspects of those feelings. But the root of the word repentance is simply to turn around. John was calling upon a whole generation to repent, to turn around, to turn from the old ways and to turn to the new. And what was the new way? The new way that John preached was that someone greater than he was coming with a new message, was coming with a new way of living. And to order to get ready, John preached a word of baptism. Now, John walked the countryside outside Jerusalem, yet people of Jerusalem came to follow and listen and to hear John's message, and they came down for baptism, to be baptized for the remission of sins. That's how we get ready. I asked the children in the children's sermon today basically that very same question. And it's the same that was asked and we understand the answers. And if we understand the answers, we understand that as we truly, faithfully answer the questions how we get ready for Christmas, it will include a sense of repentance, a sense of remembering our baptism, or maybe reaffirming our baptism, or for perhaps even coming forward to be baptized to become a follower of Jesus Christ. So we are baptized, we get ready by remembering John. We get ready for repentance, and this can be a time of repentance in our lives, and we can get ready for baptism, a time to remember our baptism, a time to reaffirm our baptism. Well, I guess our question today, perhaps the most important question during this season of preparation for Christmas, is how can we get ready? You know, I'm amazed at the way God enters our lives and we see aspects of God's presence with us. It can happen in many fashions and forms. Tuesday morning, I was getting up at my usual early morning hour of about 8:45, and I was sitting on the sofa looking at my second brain, my iPhone, reading the news of the day, seeing all the important stuff that had happened the night before. And as I was looking at my iPhone rang. And it was from a number I didn't recognize. So I immediately thought it was someone trying to sell me a new mortgage or loan at an interest rate that just couldn't be beat. But lo and behold, it was a call from my district superintendent, Jan Couric. And she informed me that there was a church whose pastor was taking a leave of absence, and if I would be willing to serve this church as its interim pastor for the month of December. I was floored. I have been in retirement for several years now. My wife, Tom Marie, and I, we lead happy lives, carrying on our business of the day, which involves going to a lot of sporting events, probably more than she cares for. It also involves being involved in a church in Uptown New Orleans that we're very happy with. And here I was asked to serve a church again, something that I am out of practice in doing. So I asked permission from my district superintendent to think about it and to pray on it. And knowing that it was important to have her question answered soon, that I could give her an answer within an hour. She said that would be okay. So I prayed a quick prayer. Lord, help me, a sinner. And then I called Tom Marie, who was at her work. And I told Tom Marie of the situation. I asked her if there was anything on the calendar that was a major obligation, or had we planned any Christmas trips, because I don't have the best memory in the world, and she may have remembered a trip that I had completely forgotten about. And she said, no, we didn't have anything that was just so monumental that we couldn't get around. We weren't planning any trips during Christmas time or before Christmas. So I called back within the hour, and I gladly and humbly agreed to serve. Now, that was Tuesday. On Wednesday, I met the staff, and I met with Kay, who's here, and several other staff members, and just was welcomed with open hearts. And part of the process of meeting with the staff was we went over the calendar of things coming up. There's a lot going on in this church. And I invite you to read that list that's in your bulletin and take advantage of some of the great things that are going on. And then we looked at the worship service. And Wesley Chambers was there, and we we saw what was coming up and who was reading and stuff like that, and we got all that done as quickly as possible. And in the haste of looking over and trying to get pen to paper and getting everything down, we forgot something. And that something was listing the Advent conspiracy. Well, I was called a couple days later, and Kay had remembered that it just wasn't put in. And so we, of course, put it back in, even though it didn't make the bulletin because it had been printed already. But we were able to hear about the Advent conspiracy today. And friends, I would say, what a wonderful message that is for us, that we have an opportunity to give to others, to give that others may truly be helped. Now, giving presents is a wonderful thing. Receiving presents is a wonderful thing. But maybe, just maybe, we can move a little bit from here and put it there, and so many people will be helped. So many people can be fed. So many people can receive an education just by the little gifts that we give. What a wonderful idea to have a true Advent conspiracy. So friends, we're called to get ready. You know, there's an old song, it's one of my favorite songs, really. In fact, Rolling Stone magazine has called it one of the top 25 songs ever written in popular music. It says, "People get ready." Well, it's a message for us. People get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. People get ready. There is a train a-coming. That train is the holy railroad of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whose presence we celebrate, whose coming we celebrate and prepare for. Let us be ready during this holy season of Advent to empty our hearts, to empty our spirit, so that we may be filled by the presence of God, by the Spirit of God. May we be the people of God. Amen.